audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Well, almost. It is Loveline. The phone number here is LOVE191. This is Dr. Drew. Adam Carolla had an operation today, and I know you all heard him say that he'd be in tonight, but no effing way. I went and visited him at the hospital today, and he was pale, pasty, whiny, doing okay, but sick as hell, having just had a surgery. And so I have the great good fortune of having with me tonight, filling in for him, Nicole Alvarez from KROQ here in Los Angeles. And Nicole will be a breath of fresh air. In fact, do you box?
Do you want to?
Because if you box, maybe when he comes in here, you can just.
I do. Actually, my father was a boxing promoter. So growing up, he would take me to gyms and I can throw a hell of a mean.
Would you take care of that man if he decides to come back in?
I've asked you several times if you are opposed to my ever, I don't know, one day meeting him in the hallway and just knocking him the hell out for the sake of us all.
See, Nicole has to cross Adam. See, Nicole in Los Angeles does the show just ahead of ours oftentimes. And Adam sort of mistreats her. He doesn't treat me at all. Yeah, you're right.
Well, which is even worse.
Yeah, those of you who've ever met Adam can understand exactly what I'm talking about. But we shouldn't disparage him tonight. He's defenseless. He's on his back. He's had both hernias
operated on. He's on his ass.
Exactly
where he belongs.
We actually had a very funny experience with him. My neighbor and a friend of mine who's anesthesiologist was there doing his anesthesia, and he's actually a Jamaican, but he looks African-American. And the guy ran and grabbed me in the hall, and he goes, "Hey, your friend Carole here just says you moved out of our neighborhood because there are black people living there." And I was like, "What?" And Adam, now medicated, I go in there, I go, "What are you?" And Adam goes, "Well, it's uncomfortable." And I didn't. Well, I said, you know, you didn't like how the neighborhood was going, and so, well, you had to move.
You know what, though? Unfortunately, he is an ass of Olympic-sized proportions, but he's talented, and I enjoy his rants and raves. So with that said, I would like to introduce our guest today, Melissa Oftemar. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to give her a round of
good evening.
How are you doing, Melissa?
Where's my laugh track?
It's in there somewhere.
I'm pretty good.
Well, thank you for joining us, first of all.
Thank you for having me.
You did your in-store at Amoeba today. How'd that go?
I did. It was wonderful. And I just now on the way here, I realized that's a free show. People can come see free shows. How fun.
Yeah.
It was really good. Lots of really, really good smiley people who like rock music.
You know, another thing you have to guess, congratulations on the fact that you're free. And you're free. You're finally on our own, Dr. Drew.
I'm an independent agent, yes.
Here's the thing. She spent 5 years, was it, with Hole?
That's right.
And then she played with the Smashing Pumpkins, both of which are bands that were led by very
strong personalities.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for
unique
the safety
individuals.
Net. I appreciate it. So you were just there because you love to play music, yet the roller coaster ride, it's safe to say, kept you on your toes?
Absolutely. Yeah, it defined me entirely. Those were my big training formative years. Instead of going to college, I went to Hole.
You went to the college. You went to the college of
there's
life.
Your laptop.
That was just for you, Melissa. Now, branching out on your own, is it a breath of fresh air, or are you still kind of looking around for that strong? Are you waiting for somebody to come in and just be a fruitcake?
Whoa, what?
Okay.
Fruitcake, music, independence, which way? I'm trying to understand. But good question. I know it is a big relief. I feel like I officially graduated. Like, I feel like I literally did my studies, and then now I am the captain of my own ship. I am the master of my destiny. I'm very relieved.
Nicole knew a lot about you, and she was anxious to be with you.
Yeah. Very. You've got a lot of history, and the cool thing is, when I was reading about your album, one thing that you said is no matter who you played with, even in this album, you've always been present in your music, so that's always been the driving force. Hmm. And then you got to choose a lot of... Well, I'll show it to you if you want.
I talk a lot, so I'm trying.
Your record label actually gave me that little bit of info, and then you got to choose your friends or people that you musically respect for this album.
Right. Well, the actual overall spirit of the album was I was self-financing it, and I literally wanted to make my dream record, meaning with whoever, wherever, however, and I'm only answering to my heart. I'm not answering to anything. I'm not answering to money or musical goals, even just who I love, what I love, and when I want.
Do you live in Los Angeles?
No. Do I live here? No. I'm back up in Canada. I'm from the East Coast anyhow, but no, I did make the majority of the record here, though, because this is where the studios and where the people are.
Was self-financing it a huge deal for you as far as this? It's part of the
point. It was a horrible business move.
Yeah, really?
It was really good for the music, though.
Then that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. Creative freedom all the way, and that's what I wanted, yeah.
Well, congratulations on your freedom. I'm very excited for you because, it's getting rave reviews, and B, I've always been a big fan of yours. You've always been just very kind of in the background, but the music. You're a badass. Did you know that?
I just love my bass. I realize, like, every day when I meet people, I'm like, I love bass. I love bass. I realize the bass is my best friend. It has brought me all over the world. It's like my magic carpet that I get to go everywhere, anywhere, all because of this relationship I have with this instrument, which is really just the channeling of this bigger thing, this infinite universe of music that we're all so lucky, whether you're playing bass or working at a radio station, to have in our lives. I mean, music is absolutely a gift from above.
Well, we're going to take some calls, and I just realized that this show is usually overburdened by testosterone, but tonight we have four X chromosomes against my one.
But so what happened?
My one
Explain
y.
to me what the usual scenario is here.
Adam Carolla has a hernia, had a hernia, because it is no longer a problem. Is it, Dr. Drew?
He had a hernia operation.
Yes, so it's usually male-infused in here. And so now, not only do they have myself.
So are you replacing, or you're visiting?
I work at K-Rock, so I'm just sitting in for Adam, and then we have you, so Dr. Drew gets the pleasure of working with some estrogen.
And you're the mellow one anyhow, right?
Normally, accuse me of having excessive estrogen in my veins anyway.
Okay, right. So you're like the sensitive one, and the other one's the meanie.
My balls hurt, they'll never heal.
That's what he sings tonight. This is now, we'll go to calls. Brittany, who's 17. Brittany?
Hello.
Hey there.
Yeah, I had a question. Oh, I've been with my boyfriend for about a month and a half, and from a relationship he was in previously, he got genital warts.
Brittany, we can't really hear you. Speak up. Speak right into the phone, too.
Project, my dear. Project.
Here we go.
Okay. I've been in a relationship with my boyfriend for about a month and a half.
Yep.
And he was in a relationship, and he had got genital warts.
Yep.
And we've had sex a couple times unprotected, and I was wondering if it was a possibility that I could get it.
Guaranteed.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not even board certified in life like Dr. Drew, but that was just a stupid move.
Yeah, it's on his skin, and when his skin contacts the vaginal lining, you get it instantaneously.
Oh, yeah. Safe sex for everybody, please.
Yeah. Okay?
So does that mean I have it?
That means you have it. That means you might be able to infect other people with it. You have to be careful because the kinds of wart virus that tend to persist, the ones that cause the warts and the ones you have visible warts that don't seem to go away, are the ones that are also associated with cervical cancer. So here's the important message for you. You are sexually active now. You probably, in all likelihood, have the wart virus. Time to get pelvic exams at least every year so you can make sure this doesn't convert into a cancer. This is John, 21. John.
Hey, baby John. Are you there?
He's gone,
you know,
John.
He seems to be gone, but, you know, we have a phone problem where the phone kind of blanks out, so we got to be a little bit... He's gone. Okay.
Bye, John.
Bye, John. This is Natalie, 18.
Hi.
Natalie?
Yes?
Go right ahead. Hey there.
Hello?
Hey.
Hello, we got the hello part. Hi, Natalie. How you doing? What's the problem?
I'm pretty good.
All right. What's up, dear?
I have a question about spotting and stuff, because...
You've come tonight. You've come to the right place.
Yes.
Good. I'm glad there's a couple of chicks. And even though I do miss Adam, I'm glad there are some chicks for reference.
Hallelujah.
The last 3 or 4 periods I've had, there were only a couple of weeks in between them. And sometimes, and I think even once, there was only like 1 week in between.
So you're having frequent and irregular periods. Yeah. And are you on the pill?
No. I'm not on the pill or the patch or anything.
Are you on any medication?
No.
Well, that can be a lot of different things. That's not spotting. That's mid-cycle bleeding, and that's irregular periods. And spotting is when you have a normal cycle, but somewhere in the middle there you kind of have a few dots here and there that you don't expect. But this is really very irregular periods. And they can be, pregnancy can do that, believe it or not.
That's what I was calling about, because I don't know if it might be that I'm pregnant and I'm getting this.
Yeah, you should check it out, because bleeding when you think you might be pregnant is considered a tubal pregnancy until proven otherwise.
Yeah, and have you had relations without a condom? I mean, is there a reason to believe you're pregnant first?
Yeah,
let's just knock that out of the way.
I'm in a very monogamous relationship right now, so we aren't... Really?
The answer to your question, Nicole, is yes. She's having sex.
Basically, you're having the boom boom, with no little Jimmy hat. Okay, gotcha.
Go get checked out, Natalie. It's very important. There's a real probability this could be a pregnancy and possibly a tubal pregnancy, and that's kind of a serious thing. So this is Nicole, 23.
Yeah. Everybody's getting scared. I hate it.
We'll make it easier for them.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm 23, and since
when I was 42. And who's 42?
Mm-hmm. Wait. Okay, can we just start over from the beginning in English?
You're 23.
You're 23. Your lover is 42?
Uh-huh.
Okay, we got it.
My lover. What, ladies? Think now. Just dig into your soul.
Are you going to ask the lover question?
Yeah. What makes someone? What does it mean? So we try to in love. We try to interpret people's behaviors and voices and how they make us feel. When a woman starts out with, "Well, my lover is 42," what the hell is she saying? What motivates her to say that?
The relationship is based on the romantic versus my partner or my husband. I mean, she's emphasizing the romance part.
Well, here's what...
She's got the romantic chromosome, probably in overabundance of it.
Let's not step back and stay in the wishful world that she's in and look at the real world and say, what does that mean about that relationship?
I don't think it's ever...
That means the guy is just using her or he's married or something?
I don't think lover is good.
And she's trying to make it into something more than it is?
I think my lover means... somebody else's husband, the guy that I sleep with.
So,
but that's, I'm a little cynical.
She's trying to put a spin on it.
Or it's just a healthy, casual, intimate relationship.
How old is your lover?
At 42.
22. Twice her age. 42. He's 23. Mm-hmm. And so are any of the things we're surmising about him accurate?
Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
Okay. Now the question of the moment would be?
It takes all kinds.
Well, actually, I am in love with him, but I didn't know his age until 8 months after we started dating.
Yeah. Well, let's call him the a-hole that I date, then, instead of my lover.
No. I like that.
The a-hole I see. I like that. That's a little more realistic.
But wait, are you saying he is married?
No, he's not. His fiance that he was engaged to passed away.
Oh. Yeah. God, I'm going straight
to
hell.
Are you dating Scott Peterson?
I'm sorry?
Nothing.
Never mind. It's off-color humor, courtesy of K-Rock. Okay.
But so are you asking if the age is a problem?
Well, it wasn't a problem to me until he had a newborn son all of a sudden fries up.
Yeah, okay. So the a-hole I'm dating, the question is...
Newborn son that just
showed up. The a-hole I see and sleep with, and the question is...
I still want to be with him, but I'm not sure if it's really something I should do.
No. Let's be real clear. Vote, ladies. Chris, vote. Yes or no?
Perez.
No. Perez.
You of little words. Engineer Chris of little words.
Says.
I was drinking my coffee.
Yes. No.
I would have to hear more details, and I know we don't have time for it. First of all, I don't think the age is a problem. And if this is a child from a very serious other relationship that he's having parallel to yours,
obviously, a serious relationship. He just said that it was.
That's good.
That's a little odd that he has a child that came out of nowhere.
Really
that's,
quickly because he had a fiance who passed away, and then all of a sudden he has a newborn child, and he's really. I'm just confused.
Right.
So no.
Yeah.
Okay.
This might be a problem.
Hole.
And also, if you have usual patterns of a-holes, then probably this could be another. So.
There you go.
One more time in unison, no.
A-hole,
no.
Melissa, this is exactly the point. If you are a trauma survivor and you have a history of reenacting a disruptive or a dysfunctional relationships, and this is yet another one, just take a good look at it. And the one thing, the one variable in all of this that can be changed is Nicole. Not Nicole Alvarez, Nicole the caller. And how about looking at that a little bit? Laurel 13.
Hi.
Hey, Laurel.
Hey.
Oh, my God. I love you guys, just so you know.
Oh, my God. That's
like
great.
Every night, and you guys are awesome. But, I was diagnosed with, bipolar.
Hey, Laurel, I'm going to stop you for a second. Don't you think it's probably a good thing that Adam isn't here tonight, given that you've got, a television blaring in the background?
Yeah. And,
You know, if you listen every night.
I have no television.
What
is
it?
Is it the radio?
No television.
Radio, what is it?
The CD. Okay, hold on.
Don't
I will
try to
off.
Tell you the voices
turn
in my head tend to be a little loud.
Off. Laurel, if Adam had been here, he would have hung up on you instantly just for that transgression. You know that about him. You listen.
Don't
every
listen
night.
To music.
So
it's bad.
He's not here. I'm going to give you a second.
Unacceptable. Unacceptable.
All right, because he's not here, this is your free get out of jail card. Right. So shoot, Laurel.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. A while ago, I don't really remember when, but the symptoms have been there since years ago when I was 11.
Right.
And I also cut myself, and I just wanted to know, are the two things related?
They're related, but they're not necessarily caused by, in other words, being a cutter is not necessarily caused by the bipolarity. Being bipolar, being a cutter does suggest sometimes when they're manic become cutting. Usually both together suggest a pretty heavy trauma history. What happened to you?
Well, I don't know. I don't really think that there's any, trauma. There was this one thing, but it just...
What was it?
My best friend's brother, who's 4 years older than me, I was like 12 at the time and he was 16. Mm-hmm. And we were at his house because I was like spending the night at my friend's house. Mm-hmm. And he was like sitting in the living room watching TV and her parents were home. So it was just like the three of us that were there. Mm-hmm. And me and him were watching TV because my friend was taking a shower. Uh-oh. And like he was just being a jackass. So I went up in his face and flipped him off and he got my finger and bent it like all the way back and pushed my head down and he's like, give me head, bitch. And then, yeah. But
did you
happened.
Did you actually have to follow? Were you able to get away from that situation? Okay.
All right, so.
I don't think, I mean, isn't it also possibly then just a chemical possibility?
Absolutely. Maybe the cutting is related to her bipolarity, and when she gets manic, she gets, you know, can't manage the feeling of mania and just starts cutting and acting impulsively. So it may all be bipolar.
Yeah, and as far as your friend's brother, next time, just kick him in the balls and leave. Simple as that.
Thank you, Nicole.
Okay, no problem.
Chelsea, 18.
Hi.
Hey.
I am freaking out. I've been listening to you guys since I was 13.
Cool. You sound depressed tonight, though.
Just don't want my family to hear me.
Okay. By the way, let's see. We are 15 minutes into the show, and we've already taken more calls than the average Corolla episode.
It's
2 hour episode.
Fascinating.
Yes, it is. Okay, Chelsea, what's up?
I've been going out with a kid for 8 months, and recently I got back on birth control, and every time after we have sex, I start to bleed.
That's very common, especially on birth control pills.
Mm-hmm.
The lining of the uterus is a little...
The worst.
Well, lining of the uterus is a little unstable on the pill sometimes, and intercourse can stimulate that. Do you smoke a lot of pot?
No.
Don't? You do not?
I used to, but I don't anymore.
I could still hear the laugh. She's still got the pot laugh. You only stopped like 6 months ago, though, right?
No, actually, over a year ago.
All right.
It's freaky how you're a freak of nature, Dr. Drew.
I can pick that up off the voice.
Wow.
So, Chelsea, it's no big deal. It's a common side effect, and just let it be that, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Wow. This is now CJ, 25. We're going to hear Melissa's song after the break, okay?
Yes, we are.
Okay. CJ?
Yeah.
Okay. Guest tonight is Melissa Alfdemar. Filling in for Adam Carolla is Nicole Alvarez, and you are 25.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I love listening to you guys. You guys keep me awake at work at night, and... You guys make my day.
You're not like a truck driver, an airline pilot or something, are you?
No, I'm a repo man.
Repo man.
Oh, yeah.
What's up?
Well, my question is, I've been dating my wife for probably about 3 years. And before we got married, we were having sex 3-4 times a day. And it wasn't even that I had to prompt her to do it. It was that if she wanted it. Okay. Now, all of a sudden, that we've been married a year, and I can't count how many times we've had sex on one hand. I mean, it's just like pulling teeth anymore to get it done.
Ladies, what does that mean?
Yeah, you're not having sex at all?
Barely.
No, barely at all.
It's common for things to slow down.
Yeah, very common.
But this is coming to a grinding halt. Right. A two-year relationship, marriage, and it really stopped immediately after the wedding?
Yeah, and I mean, I love the girl to death, but it's really making me, you know, question my relationship, and mm-hmm. I don't want to go.
The last time I had almost exactly this call, the woman had been put on antidepressants like immediately after the wedding, and that shut her down. Anything like that happen? Or birth control pill?
I'm on Prozac.
You are.
No, what about her?
No, she's not on anything. Her mom is a manic depressant, but
no.
her mom used to pop a lot of downers and stuff.
Well, let me ask you a question. Has your behavior towards her changed at all after marriage? In the sense, you know, usually when you're dating or you're in that process, you tend to court a lot more or be a little more, you know, make her feel more like a woman. When you get in a relationship long term, you get into this comfort zone, and the comfort zone prevents people from, you know, still, you still need to date when you're married and you still need to court. Do you still treat her the way you used to? Or has any of that dwindled off?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I still take her out on dates, you know. I send her flowers all the time for absolutely no reason. Buy her cards, you know.
Here's the problem. CJ's gay.
You're gay.
That's the problem.
No, but in these days, he may be a metrosexual.
Whatever.
What? Something or other.
No, CJ, we'll know what's going on with her. You're going to have to talk.
But are you communicating? That's the big question. Are you communicating with her? That's probably the only way.
But you guys, this is such a massive change. And this is a woman who's having sex 4 times a day.
Right.
Now, you could make that. Now, there's a couple things here that happens. One is sometimes when people have been sexually abused, they have what's called a bipolar reaction, their sexuality. They go from hypersexuality to shutdown, frigid. Mm. And things like a marriage and, you know, things that change the quality of the relationship or the meaning of the relationship can induce that kind of a change. So, A, she could be a trauma survivor. B, her mom, she just said, her mom was a drug addict. It makes me worry this girl might be doing some substances or was sexually addictive and switched from sex, not a drug.
She had a bad coke problem back in the day, but she...
All right, drugs are back. I guarantee it. Just go with my spidey sense. I've dealt with too many addicts every day I smell it when it's
around. Trust him on this one. It's phenomenal.
She's using something. So just check it out. I'm not wrong on that one. Well, Melissa Aftermar, who's now depressed.
Oh, yes. Everything is so traumatizing.
What is the name of the CD?
It's just the name. The Aftermar. Unpronounceable family name I was born with. Aftermar.
It's Aftermar, and
is
I think
it
it's
Dutch
a great...
Is it German?
It's Swiss-German.
And it means on the wall?
On the wall.
On the wall.
Now, Swiss-German is a separate language. A lot of people don't appreciate that.
Yes, Schweizerdeutsch. Yeah.
What did you just say?
Swiss-Deutsch.
Swiss-German.
Okay. It sounded like a chocolate bar.
Do you want to listen to the song now? Should we go to break and
no,
come back
break,
and listen?
We'll come back. We'll take a call, and we'll go immediately to the song.
Okay.
All right. So this is Loveline. Sitting in tonight for Adam Carolla is Nicole Alvarez. Adam had his bilateral herniorrhaphy today.
Our thoughts and prayers are with him.
He was not a big baby. He took it well, but he was pale and pasty and disorganized when I saw him after the operation. I talked to his wife about 2 hours ago, who said, he's so pale. He just told me he didn't think he should go into work. I'm like, no kidding, you're going to work.
Yeah, you told him that way before.
It's questionable whether he should have gone home, for God's sakes. And the guest tonight is Melissa Aftermar. We're going to hear something from her new album after we return.
I am a strange voice. I am Nicole Alvarez sitting in for Adam Carolla. I work at K-Rock. I just came over and did the thing. Dr. Drew is here. Thanks for having me, by the way.
God bless you. Thank you for filling in. I don't know quite what it's like to do a radio show without somebody sitting there farting. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Chris can fill in for you. Chris Perez. Yeah.
Perez, my dear. We have Melissa Aftermar here with us tonight, who just released her solo album, Aftermar. She is free from others and doing this on her own. So we're going to play a song, and it's the single right now. It's called Follow the Waves.
But we usually take one call first.
Do we really?
That's sort of our thing, yeah.
But that's Adam's thing or your thing? Together?
It's sort of the rhythm of the show, but I will defer to you tonight.
Next caller, please.
Okay, there you go.
We'll do a real quick one.
Fine.
Okay.
No problem.
Except if we only had some calls worth. Here's a weird one. This is George 22.
Hey, what's up, Drew?
George, dude, what's happening?
Hey, man. I made up my question, but actually, I didn't really. I sort of made it up, but I just called in to talk.
Liar, whore,
make it snappy.
Liar, whore.
You want to hear a Melissa Aftermar song? So, what is it?
I just want to know where Adam is. For one,
he had his spermatic cord pushed back in his abdomen. He had a hernia repair.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of like the penis question. We might have had relations.
No. Okay. There we go.
Bye.
Nicole, what is that? Give me one
chance. Okay, one more chance. See, I knew that was coming, and that's why.
Your intuition is far stronger than mine. Alexis, 20.
Hi. How are you?
We're good. What's up?
Okay, I've been on Zoloft for like 4 years now, which I think might be kind of a problem anyway. But so I've like steadily increased my dosage over the last 4 years, and I've been on the same dosage now for like the last couple of months, and in this last week I haven't I've been feeling like the withdrawal symptoms that I would feel if I had like skipped a day of pills or something, but I've been taking the recommended dosage and I don't know what to do.
First of all, how much you're taking?
Right now I'm on 200 milligrams a day.
And you've increased this yourself or with supervision?
With my psychiatrist.
All right. And the withdrawal symptoms are like a dizziness or something?
Kind of. It's weird. It's just like this little shock maybe a couple times a day. Sometimes it comes in like intervals of, I don't know, like 5 or 6 just at a time. But it's like this half second really uncomfortable feeling. It's like a little bit of dizziness. I don't really know.
Are you on any other medication?
No.
You know, I'm not sure anyone can answer that with great accuracy, exactly what that is. For instance, Paxil and Effexor can cause, are the ones that usually are thought to cause withdrawal symptoms, of what very similar to what you're describing. I've never seen a withdrawal syndrome from Zoloft, but people do get some strange symptoms when they come off a high dose rapidly.
And well, so, but my point is that I haven't done anything.
No, I understand. But oh, okay. I just one of the conundrums about being on high doses of any medication, though, is it starts to induce a withdrawal earlier and earlier in the interval between the doses of the medication. Like if you were taking Xanax, say, and you started on a half milligram twice a day, all of a sudden you'll start having withdrawal symptoms and you start increasing to 1 milligram. Then the withdrawal comes in again. You increase it 2 milligrams. All of a sudden you're having a withdrawal an hour after you take your Xanax. It's something about withdrawal, which is also not a well-understood biology, that causes... You really need to talk to your psychiatrist. Maybe it's time to kind of taper down and get through this and get on, okay, you know, onto something
well,
else.
Well, if I may ask, are you mixing it with drugs or alcohol or anything of that sort?
Sort
of. Okay, well, there then you go. There you go. I figured.
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing well,
that's it for sure. A high dose of Zoloft, you can get something called a serotonin syndrome that can actually be kind of dangerous. And so if you're taking a stimulant with Zoloft, that is a big deal.
Okay.
Are you taking cocaine or speed?
No, I smoke a lot of pot.
It's hard
which
to say.
I know I shouldn't be dealing with the Zoloft, but it's not like I've started smoking more weed in the last week than I usually
do. Well, here's the deal. You're being treated for the wrong diagnosis. You're a marijuana addict. All marijuana addicts are depressed. Get that treated. Don't take a bunch of medication for just cover something that's really missing the primary issue here. Now we can hear a song.
All right, here we go. Some
smoke
tunes.
Smoke that pot and listen to this.
Yeah, this is well, there would be a good time for that. And this is actually a breath of fresh air. It's Melissa Auf-de-Maur's Followed the Waves on Loveline. Cue up.
shuffle his deck clean.
Very nice, very nice. That is Melissa Auf-Demar's first solo CD called Auf-Demar in stores now. You want to say a little something about the CD really quick, about the musical journey, if you will?
The musical journey of my dream album. I made it in 2002. I took an entire year to make it. Self-financed it, like I said before, so that I could completely protect the creative decision-making, and I had no one to answer to but myself and my love of music. And I invited all my favorite musicians on board to play. So every song has a different lineup. So I have, you know, I had my list of favorite musicians, people I've played with before, like Eric from Holler, James from the Pumpkins, or my old band members from Canada.
From Tinker.
Yeah, exactly.
Josh Homme is on there.
Right. Then we got the Queens guys. And so I had my other short list of musicians I had never had the opportunity to play with, but I had toured with or had been a big influence on me one way or the other. So I got to invite those I wished to play with and those that I wanted to play with again. And I had like this utopia of this family of musicians that do it for the love. And it was best year of my life, I have
to say. You
could
see it in your face, like just talking about it, you get the glow.
It was really the best year of my life. I got to live it. I'm a huge just music fan, and and being able to live out, for all the music fans of the world, my dream of being honest and in love with music was so good.
Have you toured with any of these people?
Even for this project?
For this album.
No, I mean, making a record is kind of like living out a fantasy. You can do whatever you want in the studio, but then I've been on tour for the last 6 months actually already, and I had to put a band together for the touring thing, because the touring thing is
different.
A commitment.
Yeah,
you need really, really committed.
Yeah.
You know, available people.
Are there dates coming up we need to promote here?
I played last night. I won't be back on the West Coast for a while.
This show goes all over the country.
This show goes all over the country. At the end of this month, I start on the Curiosa tour, which is the Cure tour. But unfortunately, I'm missing the West Coast.
Oh.
I know. I'll be all over the rest of the country, but then we head back to Europe for the
Again, this tonight's show is broadcast in 100 cities.
Oh, so, yeah, everywhere. The Curiosa tour.
Do you want us to talk? Can we get those dates out? And
yeah, absolutely.
Well, you can go
great.
To auf-demar.com.
Yeah.
And for those of you that need the spelling, it's auf-demar.com.
Hey, wait a second. A is an apple. U, F is in Frank. D is in David, E-R, M is in Melissa, AUR.com. Or capitalrecords.com might be easier for you.
Yeah, I have a feeling you do that a lot,
the spelling of the name. My whole life.
Yeah, so go there, and that will help you find Melissa Auf-Demar.
Yeah, I'm all over the place all year.
It's call time, Melissa.
This is a Mike who's 20.
How's it going?
Hey, Mike, what's up?
Nothing much. I had a kind of an opinion question for you guys.
Uh-huh.
I'm in the military right now, and my fiance is at home, but I wanted to find out, either way I do this, it's going to hurt her. You know, I've been up here, I haven't been home, I'm on my way back up there right now, but I don't know how to go about telling her that I have been...
You don't know how to go about telling us. Come on,
yeah.
Just say it.
Telling her what?
Just say it.
How to go about telling her that I've been sleeping with other people on post and off post in Washington.
There.
On post? I mean, while you're on guard?
You mean
on call or whatever.
Wait, I want to hear about this. What are you doing? You're having sex while you're in what?
I think
get
he means
on,
just
knees,
on the clock, basically.
There.
But what are you doing?
When
what
he's not home.
But what is the job you're supposed to be doing while you're having sex?
Well, it depends. I mean, sometimes I'm doing CQ, which is watching the front doors and stuff like that.
Can you get the main job title really quick?
Wait a minute. So you're a Marine with the white cat standing there at attention at the entrance to the White House?
No.
No. What are you doing?
Basically, I deal with just the pay and everything for all the soldiers and everything.
And so, somebody in the office you have sex with?
Well, there was at one point, and then got rid of her because she was a bitch.
Oh my god!
You are a delight.
Yeah,
Mike.
You're not far from.
I don't know
your feelings
why
for
this,
her.
Yeah, this girl, she's gonna really miss a great catch. If
yeah, you know what? If you have problems telling her, give me her phone number. I'll do it.
So, Mike, here's the bottom line. Bottom line is, perhaps you want to spare her feelings and just break up and just tell this isn't working. If you do tell her, it's obviously going to hurt her. Hopefully she will terminate the relationship. The most humane thing you can do for her is just end things. You're not ready to have a committed relationship. That's fine. You're 20. But don't pretend that you could, or that it's not going to hurt this other person who's investing so much in you when you're screwing around so much. So,
yeah, good advice.
There you go. All right, so Melissa Alftamar is our guest. Nicole Alvarez is filling in for Adam Carolla. It is Loveline, the phone number 1-800-LOVE-191, and we'll return after this. Hey, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. Adam Carolla is out, flat on his back, pale and pasty, and in pain, as I predicted. He's not quite as tough a guy as he thought he was. The reason I've been sort of busting his nuts the last few days about this is that it bothers me when people won't submit to being a biological being. Right. You know, that's what we are. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you have an operation. It's okay.
Oh, he was adamantly coming into work anyhow.
It's okay that you recuperate. It's okay. It's okay that you get old. These things are all good. Right. It's about being human.
We're not superheroes, unfortunately.
Yeah, and so I get a little offended when people deny their biological reality.
Well, I know. Man. I sound like a prick.
Yeah, yeah. And Nicole Alvarez is sitting in for him tonight. She never sounds like a prick. And
thank
our
you.
Guest is Melissa Alftamar, who's Anderson just asked to have her CD, which in of all the years I worked with Anderson, never requested.
That's what I hear. That's a huge compliment.
It might be for his girlfriend.
No.
I could hear it in his voice. It was solely for him.
Exactly what I was thinking. I could hear it in his voice. That was for him.
Wow.
So we will continue to take calls here. This is Megan, who is 20. Megan?
Yes?
Hi, Megan. What's up?
Hi. I was just calling because I've been dating this guy for a while, and this is kind of embarrassing, but I really was wondering if you guys could help me because I kind of, like, I think about sex all the time, and I really don't know what's wrong because it's only been recently, but I'm just wondering if it's something that, because I care about my boyfriend a lot, but
are you looking at other people?
Yeah.
Or?
Megan, poor Megan. You're having trouble with this. Now, you've said a lot of things that were sort of
disconnected.
You're
embarrassed about something.
Let's try to tie this together. You've recently become preoccupied about sex, correct?
Yeah, yes.
Does it have to do with your feelings about this guy in this relationship?
No, not at all.
Are you into this guy? Or do you want sex with other guys?
Well, no, I'd be happy. I don't know.
Megan, it's all good. You are fine. Don't be ashamed. It's all good. It's healthy. You're a healthy biological being, just like we've been talking about.
No, but that's the thing. It's like, I don't feel like, because I go to school. I'm in college right now. And, like, sometimes even when I'm in class, like, I want to...
Oh, yeah, that's normal.
That's absolutely normal.
Males sit around like that from the age of 15. They think about it on average of 6 times a minute. And they're just sitting there thinking about that thing. It's hard for them to concentrate. They're getting erections. That's how a male has to deal. Now, we're trying to figure out for you why it suddenly changed at the age of 20. Are you on any medication?
No, I've been on birth control for a while. But
how long?
I don't know. I've always kind of been really horny, I guess.
All right, that's fine. And it's just got worse lately.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like. Maybe, and I'm just wondering because, like, I love my boyfriend to death, but like I need more, and I'm wondering
you
if
should
like
definitely if you're 20 years old, you should be experimenting.
Him, like,
you need more with him. He's not keeping up, right? He's not.
I don't know.
Is he not satisfying you in the bedroom, my dear?
Ladies, talk to this.
Yeah, is he not satisfying you in the bedroom? Because if so, you should try talking him through it first. Although you're a little uncomfortable talking about the situation, I can tell.
Yeah,
but when you guys are having sex, try talking him through it. Kind of instruct him, tell him what you like. If after that he's not, let's say, you know, doesn't step up to the plate, then maybe you should. You're young. Cut it off. Yeah.
However, though, if you're 20, I believe that what you should be doing is discovering what you do like, and I don't think you can do that without experimenting.
With
safe sex, like, but you must try it with other people.
And Megan, are you afraid?
I don't want to cheat on him, but he's really quick, and I don't really get...
All right, this isn't working.
Quick?
Yeah, he's a minute man.
Okay, no. If you're a woman who's really into sex, which, believe it or not, I believe not all women either are in tune with that, but if you're someone who's really openly excited about it and looking for it all the time, I really think you should go out and experiment with other people. It's really the best way. Because unfortunately, unlike men who are raised watching movies, reading books, told, you know, given all these options of what it is that your desire is, women are at a, you know, we have to find out for ourselves because there aren't any books and movies
well,
directed
I
gotta,
to us. I got to interrupt you. Men, you can beat them to try to get them to stop putting their hands in their junk. I've raised a couple males. You have to roll up newspapers and smack them at funerals to keep them from doing this. Their biology is so profound, and they're under the influence of this hormone.
Even the way you just said it is profound.
It is unbelievable that we have to have these discussions about this. And some women have very high androgenic levels in their blood, and this is actually well shown. And you're a high androgen, what they call tumescent female, Megan. That's
the thing
fine.
Is, I was brought up not to. I don't want to have sex with a whole bunch of guys. Like, I don't.
I know, Megan. Here's the deal. You got to find a guy that can keep up with your rhythm. You obviously need more than this guy that can provide it. You can certainly give him the opportunity to step up, as Nicole said. But if he can't, that maybe this relationship isn't working. It is fine that you need more than he's able to.
One opportunity.
Go ahead and tell him exactly what you could barely express. Here's where the problem is, Melissa. She felt so uncomfortable being this kind of woman.
Yes.
You know, women have a huge spectrum of their responsiveness. And you're supposed to be the kind that's in Oprah magazine or in Cosmo.
Mm-hmm.
Men come in sort of one flavor. Women, it's like it's 31 flavors. It's just all over the place.
Right. Yeah.
And to sort of try to fit yourself into one box is shaming and you know, it narrows the possibilities. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You have to feel bad for how you are. You're fine.
You're absolutely fine. And at the end of the day, you can just be true to how you feel emotionally and physically, because when it's all said and done, you're going to be kind of, you've got your back for the rest of your life. So do what makes you happy there.
West 26.
Oh, whoa.
Hey, what's up?
Basically, I'm 26 years old. I haven't had a girlfriend since I was 19. I've done some research on it, and I think I suffer from being overly shy.
Antisocial, too.
Or social phobia. Social phobia, you think?
I'm not sure.
Is it with females only, or in social gatherings, are you also extremely shy?
Extremely shy. I mean, you put me into a group of people that I don't know, and I shut up. I do my best to remain invisible.
Well, so... That's not a good thing, right?
That's not a good thing at all.
And I don't know.
Do you work in a social place, or can you join a club in the neighborhood?
I have no problem actually talking to, talking to coworkers, that kind of stuff.
It's a safe zone, though, right? Because you're talking about something, you're talking about work most of the time. It's when you have to be stripped of your work in just a social setting where you have to converse that you're not comfortable.
Exactly.
Do you have any friends? I don't mean to sound rude.
Oh, well... They're all down in San Diego, but not up here, no.
What are you doing up there in Idaho?
I moved up here because I couldn't afford it down there in San Diego.
How long ago?
I moved up here in 2000, so 4 years.
And you've not been able to find any friends in 4 years?
No, not that I hang out with regularly, no.
Okay, well,
have you tried going out with a coworker, like maybe happy hour or something like that? Or, you know, do you go to company functions?
No, I don't.
Start baby steps.
Yeah, Wes, I would look into this. That is not normal. It's not normal to be paralyzed in social situations. It's not normal to move into a new community and not form any relationship.
Yeah.
And humans need other people.
You need friends.
You need them, and you certainly aren't going to find any women to date if you don't have any relationships. And meeting other people, guys are fine, and that will build upon itself. You'll meet other people. But as Woody Allen would say, you know, if it goes more than 6 months, I'd definitely look into it.
Definitely.
And if you can't overcome these things, certainly there are therapists that can help you with that. And believe it or not, medication, Paxil's been an advocate for social phobia. We've been talking a lot about medicines tonight. I'm not necessarily in favor of that, but that has been advocated. So it's Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. Nicole Alvarez filling in for the herniorified Adam Carolla.
Is that a real word?
Herniorrhaphy is.
Okay.
Went under the knife today. He was a model patient. He was, as you might imagine, pain in the ass, complaining. I had nurses like running out of there and going, this guy's a character in here. This guy's complaining about the gown.
Oh, my. And I didn't even think about the nurses.
Oh, the poor women.
Oh.
And Melissa Alftamar is our guest tonight. We hear some more songs for her new CD after we return.
And we're back. I'm Nicole Alvarez in for Adam Carolla tonight. He is herniated, and Dr. Drew is here. Mm-hmm. It is my own generic mutt word, but I think, you know, we're just having good fun. Melissa Alftamar is our guest. Hello, that's very nice. Her first CD, her first solo CD is just out. It's called Off Tomorrow. And we'll hear another track in a little bit. But I've learned, first, we take a call. Right?
Excellent. This now is Brian, who's 20.
Hi. This is Brian.
And this is where you ask the question, Ryan.
Okay. My question
yes,
is, I have a problem where when I have sex with my wife, when I get to the end and I ejaculate, I don't feel like I have a sort of satisfying orgasm. I get some pleasure, but and it feels like it's leading up to some place, but it doesn't actually get me anywhere.
You're 20. That's a little young to be having. Older men can experience that kind of thing in their 50s, 60s, and 70s.
And a lot of women, from what I understand.
You don't know personally about this, but
No. Yes, I do know from personal experience that, you know, men tend to take women to a certain level and sometimes don't follow through. It's
even
a little
when they
harder.
Do, women in yeah, fact do complain harder. About this at young. Yeah. Yeah, there's a much greater range of even within a given woman her sexual experience.
Absolutely.
And certainly woman to woman things are very, very different. But men
so
at 20, again come it's vanilla, one flavor. And unless there's something biological or pharmacologic going on or something really significant emotionally going on.
Well, I've talked to my doctor about it. I heard you guys talking to another gentleman about a possible thyroid problem.
Thyroid or prolactin secreting tumor or something that affects the thyroid the testosterone levels in your blood.
I had that checked out, and it didn't lead anywhere.
Thyroid checked out?
Yes.
No. You need a lot more than that. You need to see an endocrinologist.
Okay.
Okay. Thyroid is a relatively unusual cause of this.
The other problem I had is my wife and I were both virgins when we got together, and so I keep thinking that that sex could be better with somebody else, that I could have a satisfying orgasm with somebody else. And
Anderson, isn't there a question I want to ask him from Salt Lake City?
Are you a Mormon?
I'm not.
Okay.
It's just something that's starting to become all-consuming in my head. I start thinking about it.
Are you Mormon? So
you're obsessing about whether or not this relationship is appropriate for you. Why did you marry the first woman that you sort of got together with?
Well, I'm not Mormon, but it was a religious conviction to begin with. I'd wanted to only be with one person, and you know, as I've gotten older and sex hasn't been what I expected it, I start thinking about everything else. I mean, when we first started doing it, we were doing it, you know, every day, a couple times a day. The whole experience was new, and I enjoyed it more. Just because of the newness of the whole thing. And then as it's gotten more routine, I found it less and less enjoyable.
Do you have kids?
I have one and a second one on the way.
All right. Well, listen, I this is one man's opinion here, that once you are a parent, you sort of relinquish the opportunity to experiment. You signed up, signed on the bottom line, you got married, now you have kids, now you're dead. That's priority one. Nothing else is more important than I'm sorry, your happiness comes second. The child's, what the children need is number one. So what you have to do is find a way to make this relationship work, and I suggest you consider some couples counseling, because the fact is that there's probably something that you can work out together that will be satisfying for you. The reality is going out and screwing around is not quite as fun as you might think it is.
Have you considered therapy? Have you considered couples counseling?
Well, we had a little bit of marriage counseling when we had a problem, but it wasn't related to the sexual stuff.
What was the problem?
I just barely told her about it, about how I feel about the whole thing.
What was the problem that you needed therapy for?
I got a little too close to one of her best friends.
Yeah, boy. All right, Ryan, you got to get some couples therapy. You got two kids. Dad. That's the moniker you wear now, okay? That's your job in life.
However, I'm going to throw it out there that I don't think that unhappy marriages are necessarily the best thing for family upbringing. That's just the way I come from. But
miserable, abusive families, I'll grant you. But it sounds like Brian kind of hold it together.
All I know is that there are children who I think turn out very well, such as myself, that come from divorced parents who had I had an amazing relationship with both of them separately, and I realized my life would have been hell had they've been together and tortured me, and I would have adopted all this pain. So I personally always, you know, I believe in the doing what's best for yourself will be what's best for other people. But I'm not a parent. I don't know how I would feel if it was relating to my own family. But
is there a happy medium? Do you think?
Well, certainly a relationship that is again that is truly painful, that is disruptive, chaotic, or abusive, that must end.
But Ryan's not really describing it. He's crying a situation where, like, well, right. I wish I want to screw around.
Yeah, his right. sounds just a little selfish.
He might regret it, too, if he just breaks everything off just for sexual reasons.
Yeah, at the very least, my friend, give it a fighting chance, because you do have kids, so, just give it a fighting chance.
Sarah is 20. Sarah? Sarah? Caller who goes by Sarah?
The artist formerly known as Sarah?
Hello,
there you are.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. Hold on a second.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, we have all time in the world.
It's a radio show. Don't worry. It's no big deal. No big deal. Okay. Take your time. No, take your time, Sarah. Are you ready now?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay. This is what happened to me last weekend. Okay. I went with my sister and her friends to this place last weekend, and I have, one of her friends for a really long time, since I was, young. I've known him for years and years and years. And I ended up telling him that I liked him or whatever, and I was really, really drunk, and we ended up, making out or whatever, and...
Well, and that explained this, did you hook up?
Yeah. What does whatever mean?
Yeah, the whatever, you gotta fill us in.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
You what?
Yes, we made out.
Just made out.
Oh, just okay. You just kissed?
Yes.
Okay.
No, come on.
Tell us the truth here.
I promise I am.
Okay, okay.
You made out.
Yes. That's it. But the thing is, he has been in this relationship with this girl for a really long time. Mm. And they were supposed to get married or something. And they ended up calling off the wedding. But they've been trying to work things out. And...
Okay, just really quick to focus. You made out with a guy who's...
Engaged.
Or getting back with his girlfriend?
Yeah.
Or involved in another relationship, basically. And the question is what? Do you just regret doing it, or do you want to know what to do from here?
Well, I regret it, and I'm really, I guess I'm friends with her, and she talks to me about stuff.
Oh, you're friends with his girlfriend?
Yeah.
Oh.
And you give her advice on him?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, what do you want from us?
Well, I feel really uncomfortable around both of them now.
Well, maybe you ought to just kind of...
Take yourself out of the situation, period, end of sentence.
For both relationships, right?
Okay.
Oh, this connection is driving me insane. Right. Sarah, speak up, okay?
Okay. Sorry, I'm kind of nervous.
Okay.
Don't be. There's no reason to be. This is a safe, happy place. We don't know you. We can't see you.
Okay.
Of course, this guy and his girlfriend are listening right now, but it's no big deal.
Let's just pretend they're not.
But go ahead. So what is it you want us to help you with? We're telling you to get away from these two, and you're sort of resisting that. So how can we help?
Well, it's kind of hard to because they're really good friends with,
All right, Sarah, I'm gonna read through. I'm going to flip over all the cards, and here's the deal, Sarah. You really like this guy. You're kind of angry and resentful with your girlfriend. Not a good situation. You're going to screw this up in some way, right?
Yeah.
You're very ambivalent about this. So the only way you can really be sort of honest and is by getting away from these two, because you really are into this guy, and you're mad at this girl because she's got him. How kind of friend is that?
Yeah.
You can't really be her friend right now. It's not. You've got all these crazy feelings. They aren't going to work. And if you're going to try to get this guy away from her,
And it sounds like you might be hurt by this whole situation.
But you see what this? She wants to get this guy away from her.
Yeah.
And that's just, and of course, okay, that's okay to have those kinds of feelings. But to hang around these people and to sort of try to make that happen, not okay. And or try to sort of pretend you're not having these feelings, also not okay. So maybe a little distance from both these people for a little while. I need a Melissa Aftemar song.
I think I do, too.
I do.
Did you say you want to hear number 7?
Yeah, that might be
okay,
good.
We are going to listen to I'll Be Anything You Want. We're going to take a little break and listen to some very good music, and we will return on Love Line. That was my little rap version into your song. We will return on Love Line.
Oh, love is fun. Care to dance?
see.
Song is called I'll Be Anything You Want, and it's Melissa Off DeMar's first solo CD. Congratulations, it's awesome.
Thank you.
And if Anderson likes it, it's got to be awesome. It's just simply titled Off DeMar. So am I saying it right?
Oh, yes.
Off DeMar.
Off
it's actually
DeMar is a little better, but that's fine.
All right, well,
did
are
you
we
grow up in Switzerland?
No, in Canada.
Canada, but you speak Swiss?
No, not at all. No. Just Off DeMar and Dankeschön.
And Schweiz Deutsche.
Schweiz Deutsch, yes.
I don't know that language. I can speak Spanish.
French.
French.
Okay, we both can.
I can do Spanish, Portuguese.
Wow, Portuguese. That's
yeah, I can
one.
Do love line.
In Portuguese?
Yeah. Give me some time. I don't know yet. Maybe some time to make something up.
Till is 24.
Hello?
Till?
I have a question.
That's good.
Okay, I'm on Zoloft now.
Yeah.
Well, before I was on Zoloft, I've been depressed for a really, really long time.
Yeah.
And I got married when I was 22.
Well, that solves everything.
And I had a baby 6 months ago.
Right.
And they blamed my depression on postpartum.
But you were depressed before that.
I'm sorry?
You were depressed before that, though?
Oh, yeah. I went goth. So, you know, the brooding and the black hair and the piercings all kind of went hand in hand. But
so you have some kind of an abuse
have
history.
Have you always been goth? You said
no,
you
I just did it, you know, just to do it. I went to my first obstetrician appointment, yeah.
And
I
looked
like an
off?
Idiot. And so I dyed my hair back to blonde and took out all the eyebrow and nose piercings, so I fit in with the other moms. But now, here's my problem is, now that I'm on Zoloft,
yeah.
I can't have an orgasm. Mm.
That's a very, very common complication.
It's a tough price to pay
of those medicines.
God.
And in fact, for many of the serotonin reuptake inhibitors, not only do you stop having orgasms, but sex is just unappealing.
No, it is. I don't.
Yeah, particularly for women, they get sort of what's been coined a term sexlessness. Even looking at pictures of people kissing, it's just like, ew, why are they doing that?
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's a weird shutdown.
Here's my problem is, I can go back to feeling like crap and having really bizarre thoughts, or I can enjoy sex.
No, you can choose an antidepressant that doesn't cause.
I tried Wellbutrin.
Yeah.
And that had the exact same thing.
How about Cerazone?
No. Never tried it.
Cerazone and Remeron; those are two that may not cause the same side effects. The trick is to go back and work with the doctor. You shouldn't have to sacrifice intimacy. The fact is, when you're depressed, you need other people. You need the connection with the people you care about in your life. You can't have your relationships falling apart. It's important. Pay attention to that. Don't assume you have to have that. All right, here's...
Dr. Drew, if they diagnose you with something, they give you a medication that's not working for you, should you go get a second opinion from another doctor?
If you're getting no satisfaction from the doctor you're working with, but definitely go back and say this is not, you know, it's not right. It's not right. Make sure
because
you
get that is just
treated.
Not right. You shouldn't have to sacrifice that pleasure.
Think about it. Not only the pleasure, but if the relationship starts to suffer as a result, your depression is coming back anyway. Samantha, 23.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi. Sorry
we disturbed you this evening, but go ahead. Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, go right
okay.
ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah. What happened is that my mom separated from my dad when I was like 10. She had a boyfriend, whatever. She's been with him forever. And when I was 12, he molested me. He didn't
He didn't sexually molest you.
I never told my mom. I don't know. I really honestly to God don't know why I never told her. Because I think that he did it in a way that I wouldn't think that it was wrong, you know?
What was it? What did he do?
Like, he would, like, oh, let's go to the park, you know? And he would, like, run around with me in the swings, and then he would tickle me. Like, to me, now that I'm 23 years old, I think he, like, tried to get comfortable with my body so that when he did try to touch me, I wouldn't be, like, surprised about it.
What did he do? I haven't heard anything yet.
He touched me. He touched my breast, my legs, everything. The way that you were not, he shouldn't touch me.
Did
so
you know
I
at
never
the time,
told my mom.
Did you know at the time that it was wrong, or is this something that is in retrospect?
In retrospect.
I'm going to let Dr. Drew handle this one, but I don't ever think it's too late to talk to, I would say, your mother about this now. It's something that's going to weigh on you.
That's the thing. I recently found out that my younger sister, it might be his daughter. So we had a big, huge family fight, and I told my mom. It just came out. I just told her. You know, I said, how would you feel if I told you this? And she told me, is that true? And I said, yes, it is, you know. And when I was like 13, I tried to tell her, but I couldn't get myself to tell her, so I told her, oh, well, you know, he put his hand on my butt. So she asked him, and when I came home from school, she said, you know what, I talked to him, and he said that he did do it, but he didn't do it on purpose, and he's sorry.
What did he do?
He would touch my breast, touch me down there.
What, while he was tickling you?
Sometimes I would be sleeping, and he would come in and touch me while I was sleeping.
And touch your genitalia.
Yes.
Right.
You know, and I was like 12 or 12.
Your mother is still with him or not?
Samantha, my bet is, though, that she's still with him. Oh, my bet is something happened to you earlier, too. What else happened to you when you were like 6?
Nothing, that's it.
Come on. Nothing?
No, nothing. He was the only one.
Not with, that's it, huh?
See, well, Dr. Drew, could something have happened and her not remember, maybe?
Yeah, but I don't want to put too much emphasis on that kind of thing. I mean, all right, so what can we do to help? What would you like?
So my question is, I told my mom, and my mom wants to know why I waited so long to tell her. My mom does not understand why I couldn't just tell her at that moment.
It's very common for children to feel responsible when they are the victims of abuse, and particularly when it's a kind of a sexual act. They feel like there's going to be some sort of retribution from mom, or that they're not going to be believed, which, lo and behold, in your case, is in fact what happens. She doesn't believe you, and she does blame you. So the fact is that there's so much shame in having been the object of this kind of behavior that very often children don't talk about, don't ever tell their parents.
And sweet, innocent children don't want to disrupt and don't want to hurt people and scare people, so you don't say it when you're young.
They know it's going to be hurtful to the parent.
You can tell your mother that now, too, which is, of course, when I was young, I didn't want to make a big deal out of it.
Bunny is 23. Bunny?
Yes.
What's up?
Hi.
Hey.
She comes out of the box with all this energy, and then where are you?
It's Quaalude night for our caller.
I
so what's going on?
It's hard to explain. It's hard to talk about.
Well, it's all right. We're here.
Yeah.
I'm sort of surprised by people having that sort of feeling about Love Line tonight. I've never known that anything is hard to talk about on Love Line.
No, ahead. And you're taking the step in the right direction. You called, so let's just see it through. Come on.
But it's a little easier to talk about with Adam not being there.
Oh, good. All right.
Okay.
Well, good. Maybe that's it. Maybe we're getting callers tonight that would not have otherwise called, and they're just feeling a little
comfortable. Oh, good. All Adam's gone.
Yeah, I can call.
Safe.
Finally. Here we go.
So I have this problem that I'm not a virgin. I haven't been for about 5 years now.
Yeah.
But when I have sex, I'm very tight.
Yeah.
And I've had guys actually be in physical pain.
You're in physical pain. The guys are in physical pain.
No, the guys are in pain. I'm not. I actually think it feels pretty good.
I love an honest woman. That's great.
How many times has this actually...
But the guys are in pain because I'm so tight.
How many times has this happened?
At least 5 or 6 times. My last boyfriend actually broke up with me because he said the sex wasn't good because I was so tight.
Now, what does he mean by that? Does he mean that he had trouble penetrating, or once he was in, it was somehow...
suffocating?
Pulling on him? Well, what does he mean? What does that mean?
Once he was in, it was painful.
Did he describe at all? Like, I'm just curious. Was it like a suffocating, like it was the walls were literally closing in on him, or it's sharp pain, or what did he say? I've never heard this before.
He said that it hurt. Like, penetrating hurt. I mean, it hurts both of us. Like, the penetrating...
Did he try lubrication?
I don't really know. Like, he said the penetrating hurt once he got in. Like, once he gets in, I'm fine. But then it hurt him.
I've never heard it. I thought the guys liked tight. I thought there was a lack of tightness in the world.
No, they generally do like that. I mean, it can be overdone.
That's what I thought, but I'm having issues because of that.
I this doesn't sound right to me. The guys have trouble. They don't like it when they can't penetrate. That they feel sort of over. They don't know how to deal with that. They're overwhelmed by it. And the fact is, that's usually sort of a muscular anxiety problem. You get anxious and the muscles constrict. Mm-hmm. And that can be uncomfortable for guys. And it can be sort of a pain for them. They don't like dealing with it. They don't understand it. They can't imagine how, you know, mm-hmm. what's going on. And it's, you need, when that's, for that problem, you just need somebody who cares about you. You need a boyfriend that you feel comfortable with, use a lot of lubricant, and that will work itself out.
Lubricant, I think,
lubricant.
Is the answer.
And you definitely need one on hand all the time.
Yeah, and then usually, once things are going, it's fine. Guys are fine. Sometimes if the guys aren't able to sort of set the rhythm themselves, it can be a little uncomfortable for them.
I have had issues where, you know, I've been a little nervous about it, so... I think that's part to do with it, but other times, I mean, there have been times where I'm with my boyfriend, and, you know, I've heard, you know, if you drink a lot, then you loosen up, but I've, you know, drank a lot.
I don't think in that way, though.
No, Bunny, I think, you know, Bunny, you're overthinking this. You need somebody that you're comfortable with, who cares about you, with lube on hand. You need to be able to talk to each other and kind of sort it out. These kinds of things usually work themselves out. I mean, there can be anatomical mismatches. That's really not what we're talking about here. Just kind of relax. Get somebody who's patient and cares about you. And this will work itself out. This is not a big deal.
Okay? Definitely. Nothing to worry about.
Yeah, you're fine. And by the way, the guy that you're working out will be very happy. He'll be fine. Guys are so happy. Just when the girl has sex, though, they're so happy.
They are so happy. I've never heard a situation where it's too, you know, too tight. And it's usually, I hear guys complaining a lot.
No, they don't. They think that they like to sort of, it makes them feel better if it's, you know what I'm saying? If they can say it's too, whatever.
Yeah. Okay, well, now we're going to get
the woman's fault, right?
It's all our fault.
Anyway, listen, it is Love Line. Melissa Auftemar is our guest. We have Nicole Alvarez sitting in for Adam Carolla, who's on his hairy ass because of the big operation today, which I had to look at his hairy ass today hanging out of a hospital gown.
Though he got up and showed it for you?
Yeah, he was, you know, he was in a hospital room preparing for the operation that had a John in it. Uh-huh. I'd never seen that in our pre-op rooms. And he was standing there with the door open pink with his ass hanging out.
His pasty. Hairy ass hanging out, because you keep saying pasty.
Well, the pasty came later after the operation.
Oh, okay.
That's when he really looked like hell and insisted he was fine and in no pain, but then managed to not be able to communicate with his wife. So, yeah, that's him. Let's give another taste of that My Balls Hurt song.
What?
Where did that come from?
My balls hurt, they'll never heal. That's sort of the basic vibe I got.
The general mood of today?
That's where he's at right now. So again, it's Loveline 1-800-LOVE-19. We'll take more of your calls when we return.
Your son is gay.
Hello, we are back with Loveline. I'm Nicole Alvarez in for Adam Carolla. Dr. Drew, always here. Thank you for having me, by the way.
Fun?
I'm having a great time.
It's a totally different level of thinking, but
it's
the higher level of thinking. You have to be serious, and I remember you telling me, you know, 2 hours of just talking, it could be exhausting.
But we have these questionnaires to fill out.
These questionnaires are good.
How to be honest with yourself is answer a Dr. Drew questionnaire.
This is what they're talking about, these questionnaires I'm doing. I'm studying
unacceptable.
I know, it drives Adam crazy.
Unacceptable.
I know, I've seen him throw one of his little temper tantrums because of it.
But we're still collecting data on people that are guests on this show, and we're trying to understand what makes a celebrity, why people... What makes celebrity different? What makes somebody be a celebrity or want to be a celebrity or need to be a celebrity and that kind of thing?
And I can't wait to see the results.
It's going to be interesting.
Our guest tonight, Melissa Oftemar, she's here with us. She was at Amoeba earlier today, and she's here just hanging out.
Yes, the nice people of Los Angeles came out to the greatest record store in the world and
really
saw
is.
Me play free show. It was great. Thank you to everybody that came out. If you're out there, thank you.
We just played two tracks from our album, Oftemar. It's simply Oftemar, and it's out in stores now. Really quick, we were talking when we were at break about the musical, basically the vision that you had for the album, mm-hmm. and you pretty much knew what you wanted to sound like, who you wanted to work with. It was all kind of there. You just needed the outlet,
mm-hmm.
and you got
it. I just needed the confidence and the decision in my head to do it, and I did it exactly.
Now, the first time you heard it the whole way through, was it exactly what you thought it would come? Was it what you wanted, or did
it
supersede it?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it was more about the process. I'm definitely a process person and not an end result person, so it was just... Every step upon every step, just it is what I wanted it to be, 100%, yes.
This is now Norma, who's 28. Norma?
Yeah, I have a question. I'm with a woman, and she's 36, and I'm having a lot of sexual issues with her. I told her when I met her that I like having a lot of sex. I'm a sex addict.
Were you sexually abused growing up?
What was that?
Were you sexually abused growing up?
Yeah, I was messed with by a lot of guys and stuff.
That's a real common cause of sexual addiction. Well, in fact, it's a necessary cause. If somebody's really going to be sexually addicted, there's always a sexual trauma history back there. And then, you know, another thing that sort of clued me into that is that you have sort of a sexual identity question. Are you definitely lesbian or are you bisexual?
I was married to a man for 11 years.
Right. And that, again, is the other thing that comes from sexual traumas. All right. So, and your lesbian girlfriend, what's happening with her?
Well, she had also an issue in her past that makes her not really want to have sex.
Well, one of the dirty little secrets about lesbian couples that is rarely talked about is that after the first 6 months, most, and not all, but many, and I've come to understand most lesbian couples generally stop having sex. They start getting into the more cuddling, intimate, physical part
of it. That's what I figured that. I don't know why. I was watching, I don't know, I saw something on TV and I figured that.
Because they don't have the man around who's thinking about sex every 6 seconds or whatever
the issue
it is.
Without the penis.
Yeah, they get to cuddle.
It's always been with me as well with when I was married to, you know, my ex, is that he would complain that I wanted it all the time. And towards the end of our relationship, he became impotent for over a year,
which really
frustrated me. I have always been interested in women, and I was very upfront and honest with her when I met her, telling her I
understand you're a sex addict, but the fact is that most lesbian couples that are stable sort of taper down on the sex. So your girlfriend, you're more the abnormal one in this kind of relationship. How about dealing with the sexual addiction a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I even tried touching her breast, and she don't like her breast.
Norma. Norma.
Yeah, I think it's more about you than her.
Let's focus on your sexual addiction.
Earth to Norma.
Anytime you have a problem with another, the first thing you should do is look at yourself. When you're blaming somebody else for something that's not helping, you know, that's wrong for you, means that there's something wrong in you.
12-step essay. Take a good look at this. But what about women and sexuality? Because you guys have not really showered me with your estrogen tonight.
Okay.
This is an opportunity for this show to go that direction. Because normally it's a lot of testosterone.
Yes, it's my favorite topic, actually, to talk about the unknown desires of women.
Why? This is the thing that bothers me most.
Yes.
Why don't women write about it and talk about it? Why do they pretend?
Because I've been discouraged for hundreds and hundreds of years.
No, no, no. But all they write about is how they need to be like a 17-year-old male, which is not how women are.
No, I think, yeah.
You read every magazine on the cover of every women's magazine. It's how to be a 17-year-old male, that I am a 17-year-old male.
But
why aren't you
wave,
a 17-year-old
that's
male?
That's a new wave of weird post-feminism.
But that's been going on for years.
Right, the last 10 years. Is
yes,
what you mean?
Yeah. Why
it's
not?
The post-feminist, weird, horrible Sex in the City, sexuality
yes.
of the,
yes.
I just want to get off. I just need
why
to, like,
why can't women talk about
it.
What it really actually
you know
is
why?
To be a woman?
It's terrifying. For
tell
men,
others.
What we want is very profound and very complex. Just like you were saying,
here.
It
it's,
could be
it's
even
an emotional
dizzy.
Thing. It's
yes.
a it's a spiritual thing. It's a
yes.
physical thing, all wrapped in one. And people will get terrified if we talked. Well, men would get terrified
no,
if we talked.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Men are we raise our men now to believe. And believe me, all men mm-hmm. think, and I was raised with this crap too, which is women, same as men. They want the same thing, same priority, same everything. Therefore, however my brain is working, what I want is what a woman wants. And if
right.
it's anything different, well,
yeah,
now I'm confused.
Yeah.
Now
most
I am
smart
confused.
Guys know that's not true.
But our culture has indoctrinated men to that
yes.
BS.
Have you ever read Anais Nin?
No.
Any person out there, you know, she's the female counterpart to Henry Miller, who totally, you know, revolutionized.
What's her name again?
Anais Nin.
You know
Henry Miller, of course.
I will bring
right?
you literature.
Please.
Spy in the House of Love. She, and this is in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, she wrote essays for Playgirl in the 70s. You can buy books
Playgirl
of her essays.
Playgirl is male homosexual porn, though. It's a thing.
Right.
And again, that defies the reality of what women are, that women are not
right.
visual that way, that they're much more complex.
The
they use
thing,
both sides
yeah,
of their brain.
It's complex.
And, by the way, arousal and desire, disconnected in the woman. For a man, as soon as there's arousal, there's desire. They're connected biologically.
The way that I am, because we're all very different. Women can be different too. I am
very different.
Yeah,
and you different day to day.
Yeah, me
and
different day to day.
Completely different.
Yeah, completely, completely, mm-hmm. and that's okay.
That's what freaks guys out more than
yeah.
me. So why can't
right,
you just? Why can't and I? Why do you? Why don't you stop reading Cosmo? And start reading
and start reading
a yeah. new magazine that discusses what it actually is to be a female human being.
Yeah, we're going to have to come up with our own.
Well, don't
touch Cosmo.
Wait a second. There aren't that many out there. The whole thing is that in the last 20 years, maybe women have been given outlets. I mean, women had to have fake names and pretend they were men 50 years ago, 100 years ago to talk about.
It's all done.
Okay.
It's all over.
The point is that there aren't that many good examples, and then the extreme feminism of the 60s and 70s got everyone all confused.
Yes.
And, you know,
okay, let's. We all agree. Now
yes.
let's get on with it.
Now we're doing it.
Well, where?
On my record.
Okay.
My favorite conversations I have with the women
there, yeah.
are bought this record are 19-year-old girls asking me about the sexual content
well,
of that record.
Let's create a magazine around that next.
Absolutely.
Because women
I will
have nowhere
be the editor
to go
of it. I'm
that
here
empowers
to help.
Women to be
sexual.
A woman.
Yes, and to be unashamed of the fact that there's this very complex, very intense sexual desire aspect of us that we don't know how to ask for.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about it, freaks men out is that the whole experience of receptivity.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand what that means.
Don't really.
So you can have sex and not have an orgasm, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Huh?
No, it's
more
what?
To it
We're
than
very
that.
Different.
Whoa! Stop! I'm confused already. Impossible.
No,
it's like
you know.
The unknown. It's like imagining infinity, outer space. you don't understand it. You can't understand it.
I can't. Okay.
You can't use your linear brain. It is very abstract
intense.
And big. Yes.
And why can't we raise men to be cherish that and to be completely
right, we will.
In all
the new
of
generations of
we,
men
we,
I think
yeah,
are.
Yeah it's maybe it's our
you
responsibility
talk to these jackoffs we're talking to on Love
right.
I don't know that you're going to be convinced we're raising that new
can
generation
can I say
men,
for the record
please.
Doc, I am extremely comfortable with talking about sex with my sexuality I love it you crave it all the time all kinds
crave talking about it
I crave talking I love talking about it but the only place that I found that I've been able to talk about it would be let's say here at work with the guys.
That's my point.
I know. I understand.
Why don't women empower one another? They're
no,
you're
and
so
now
competitive
I feel like,
with each other.
No,
it's not that.
I'm not,
the double standard.
Not.
The double standard that people complain about. You know when that's studied sociologically, initiated by men, sustained by women.
Right.
Right.
If you don't like the double standard, ladies. Drop it.
Mm-hmm.
Men are happy.
We need your help a little bit too on that.
Men
one,
are happy to date
50,
women
50,
that,
yeah.
that like sex and have sex with lots of guys. They're happy, but their girlfriend, the guys, girls who are friends. Will not hear that.
Are the ones
gentlemen,
calling you.
Hey, stay away from her. She's a hoe. Stay away. She's
so
bad.
Do you think it's dangerous? Be careful. But men are not that comfortable going out with or sleeping with a girl.
Yes, they are.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
They may not want to marry. They may have some issues. Some guys, most drop it immediately. They make note of it, and then they're over it. That's it.
No, but it's what about the double standing of the virgin whore complex thing, and the man that is terrified, is excited about the sexual possibilities of the woman who's had adventures and who knows what she likes and who knows what she can offer,
right.
But then at the same time is very intimidated by her sexual history. That guy's rather rare.
What?
That guy's rather rare.
What?
That, I don't know how many guys you've dated, but I don't agree. Men are very...
All right, let's ask, let's ask Robert from Chino. Robert.
Yes.
We're going to ask you a question. Go ahead. Go ahead, Melissa.
Yes, I was wondering...
Hold on. We have a question for you. We're going to get back to your question in a second.
How old are you?
He's 22.
I'll be 22 next week.
Do you ever date women that have had a more extensive sexual history than your own?
No, I've not.
You've not done that. Would you avoid that?
Would you be intimidated by that?
Not that I'm intimidated, it's just...
Would it be a turnoff at all?
I'm sorry?
Would it be a turnoff to know that the girl you're dating, or the woman you're dating, I'm sorry, has had very many partners, or just considerably...
More than you.
I wouldn't really be bugged by it, but...
Okay, hold on. This is now, let's go to Alan. Alan?
There was an Did you hear the
He wouldn't be bugged by it. Okay. Alan.
Hello.
20. Hey, Alan, have you ever dated a girl that has sort of more extensive sexual history than your own?
Yes, I have.
Does that bother you?
Not really.
Okay, thank you. Okay, that's 100%.
Not really, and don't be bothered by it.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, the point is guys go, they make note, and whatever, you're having sex with me, it's fine. You say you love me, you're just with me, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that part doesn't bother them, but then it gets more complicated. Let's say when you get into the marriage part and the serious relationship, men have a problem.
Some men have a problem with accepting that. Yeah, some men do, some men don't.
Okay.
Men.
Oh, he's standing up now. Yeah,
we got to go to break. But the reality is, here's the thing about men. I will come to their defense on this one area.
Okay.
They aim to please.
Yeah.
We're not bad. We're just lame. Lame as hell. Okay. But if we understood things more, if you would help us sort of understand, be more honest.
Oh, I try.
Well, I bet the guys appreciate that.
I think we need to both meet halfway. I really do.
Well, we're gonna meet halfway in the hall here during the break.
Because
right now it's Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam Carolla is on his hairy ass after a hernia operation. Nicole Alvarez is here, and we are being estrogenized this evening. We're gonna really get into more discussions about women, women's sexuality, and how women experience themselves. This is something we don't have a chance to do when Adam's here spraying his testosterone all over the room. So we'll be back with Loveline after this.
What? We are back to Loveline. You just pointed out. I'm so excited. I'm looking at Dr. Drew like, lead me. But you know what? I could do this too, can I? I do this every day. Not Loveline,
it's your job. You do this.
Yeah, I was I was a little nervous. I didn't know what to expect, but this is a pleasant surprise, especially now that we are indulging with Melissa Ofdemar and you, Dr. Drew, and myself. I'm Nicole Alvarez in for Adam, who's, well, you know what he is. He's laid up on his hairy ass. But we're talking about, we're infusing estrogen into the room. So Dr. Drew wanted us to kind of discuss. I'm going to let you take it from here.
I'm just very interested in this. I don't think it's talked
little
about
does
in
Adam know
way.
That he's missing out on these.
This is his worst nightmare.
But it's not exciting to him to think about talking about female sexuality?
He's dismissive of it, yeah. He may be threatened by it or something. I'm fascinated by that, and I'm angered by things like, as you say, Sex and the City sort of flying as the stamp of what it is to be sexual.
To be sexually female.
No,
I mean, but that is also just a result of that weird feminist thing that happened in the 60s and 70s. But then back then, you know, hate men because... of women, yeah, it's all too extreme, too black and white, and the woman thing.
I am very interested in what's real.
Yes.
And I'm offended by things that aren't.
Right. So ask us some questions.
Well, let's have the callers
ask. Yeah, let's ask
back
some
to
questions.
Robert is 22.
Yes, I was wondering, every time I'm with my fiance and we engage in sexual encounters and stuff, I'm always having premature ejaculation. And
what's premature? What's premature?
I'm sorry?
What do you mean by premature?
Every time I have sex, like within the matter of a minute or two, I go.
Any way you can prolong it at all?
Well, I've gone to a urologist.
Yeah.
And the thing is, my urologist prescribed me Zoloft and Cialis.
Did it work?
And I tried the Zoloft and then I tried the Cialis. He told me to take it within an hour of each other.
Yeah.
And like the first time I did it, I was able to last a while, but that was it. Like after that, it went back to like a minute or two. And the thing is that my fiance, she tells me that, you know what, she has no problem with it. You know, as long as she gets to orgasm, that's all that matters.
You know, very often, and she orgasms in 2 minutes? Or you mean you give her oral sex?
Well, we do a lot of foreplay before oral that. Sex. But the thing is, I want to be able to.
Yeah, I know you want to, but reality is that sexual dysfunction of this sort is really defined by the couple, not by what you want necessarily. And the fact that you're not satisfied is one thing, but she is, and she's not complaining. And
the thing is that I'm happy that she's happy. It's that I want to be able to try new things besides that. And by the time I want to, I've already gone.
What does that mean?
Like, I just want to try different, like, sexual positions and stuff.
And with Cialis, you're unable to sustain an erection even after orgasm?
Yeah, and, like, the doctor...
How much Cialis are you taking? What dose?
The doctor gave me 50 milligrams.
50?
Yeah.
That's not Cialis. You mean Zoloft is 50. What's your Cialis dose?
Oh, I'm sorry. The Cialis is 20.
All right. Well, you might try Levitra, which is shorter acting. You might be able to boost the dose up a little bit. And Cialis can take a while to get going. But you just want to have an erection around to kind of do stuff with and to your girlfriend. She's not really interested in doing that. See, I know Melissa needs a guy that goes a while. Because every time a guy goes a minute, she looks up like,
that's not good.
I was actually feeling for them. I was more feeling for the guy.
Well, I saw the pain on your face. Anyway, either way.
But premature ejaculation is just a physical...
It's just him, yeah. It's just his clock.
You can't cure those.
The treatment he got is actually a pretty good effort at treating him. But the other thing you do is you can masturbate a couple times beforehand, sort of just get everything out of his pipes.
That's a good idea.
And the point is, it's something that needs to be worked out as a couple. I think it's too much looked at as something that is... The problem.
Right.
Yeah, and this isn't a couple problem here because she's fine. She's like, hey, she's probably angry that he's so anxious about this. It's like, cut it out, dude. Just relax.
Just talk to each other.
Right now, this is an opportunity to talk about the female thing because guys are like, well, wait a minute. This can't be good. This can't be enough for you.
Length and the size, or even though that sounds like the same thing, but it really isn't important to the girl.
Some women it is sometimes. Occasionally. I don't know. Occasionally I hear women that do it is an issue. And I can't figure out the length thing. Just the feeling more filled up, I think, is what they want. They want to feel sort of uncomfortably filled
There's
up.
A lot more that can be done.
What is that? What is that size thing?
I don't know.
What do you mean, what is the size thing?
What's the problem?
Yeah, when women have a size thing, what does that mean about them?
No, I think what it is it's more reverse, is that you want your man to be very, very confident.
Yeah.
And the insecurity that can come from a man's shame of small things.
That's what I'm saying.
It's back to shame again.
This Robert, she's probably pissed off at him for that being anxious about not being confident.
That's the only time that it's not attractive. The size, I swear, it doesn't matter unless it comes along with an insecurity.
No, but if you stand behind it with conviction, however small it is, it could be the most attractive thing. It's this confidence thing. Really? No. The size. I know women whose size.
Get behind your penis.
Get behind your penis with conviction, however small it is. No, and she's right.
And the intercourse is really not the main and end goal to most women.
Well, but now about 10% of women though have orgasm only with intercourse. And they tend to be multi-orgasmic.
But the majority are non-intercourse.
They have oral sex, direct stimulation, that kind of thing. Well, yeah, I'm sorry to say we're running out of time. We're just
more women in sex
here.
Stuff.
Here's a real quick one. Here is Alan, who's 20. Alan?
Hello.
Hey.
I started dating a girl. She was the first girl I've ever gotten a relationship into. I started dating her around last October.
Yeah.
And I was a virgin. And I lost my virginity to her around December.
Yeah.
And from then, we started having sex about twice a week, and it went like that for about 2 months.
The question is?
After that, she started talking about kids and marriage and all that kind of stuff, and now it's just pretty much found out that I was just physically involved, and I didn't really, you know, care about any of that.
And the question is?
Well, every time I think about sex or any time like a woman shows a romantic interest in me, I'm really, really, really turned off by it. I'm just wondering if that might mandate therapy,
it wouldn't be a bad idea. There's all kinds of reasons that guys get that way. It's ultimately underlying all of it is a castration anxiety. They're fearful that the woman's going to abscond with something, that she's going to force, I'm going to be swept into or consumed by something out of her desire, and of the one thing she's going to certainly abscond with is my genitalia. And that's sort of underneath all that.
But do you think you're repulsed by the emotional wanting, needing things?
We don't have time. Yeah, it's ultimately just whatever he loses control and doesn't like that. But that's not a healthy thing, because the reality is you can maintain a healthy distance from another person, not be subsumed or consumed by them, and still be intimate and still know who you are and still have a separate self. And so, if you can't maintain a healthy relationship and healthy boundaries, yes, that is time for therapy. Loveline, we'll be back in just a second. Well, thank you, ladies. It has been an enlightening, enriching, and interesting, exciting experience
thank
here.
Thank you, Dr. Drew, for opening your mind
and your interest to the question.
I'm is always open. I love that. There's a billion more questions.
So thank you for the curiosity. Like, you really want to get to know what it is that...
I'm angry that women are not understood more realistically.
Well, so are we, so we have that in common.
And we kind of started talking about this earlier, where I was saying that I get sort of outraged when people don't accept their reality. Mm-hmm. And I don't like not reality, right? I'm offended by unreal.
Yeah. Right. Not being honest with yourself is the most disgusting quality.
But being a human and what it is to be a human, whether it be male or female. So, Nicole, thank you for making it a pleasurable evening.
Thank you, Dr. Drew.
Melissa, thank you very much for having me. The album by the same name, yes, Aftermarm.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's phenomenal. Engineer Anderson has requested it. Had Junior Loveline producer Lauren. Lauren, run in here and make sure that we got him a CD, which is a remarkable endorsement.
Well, thank you very much.
Allegedly, Adam's going to try to come back in here tomorrow night, which I think would be ridiculous.
I think it's going to be fun as hell to listen
Let
to him.
The bum heal.
No way will he be here. And we do not have a guest, so whoever's in here with me will be the love that evolves between us. Hopefully, Nicole, you'll be here with me.
Yeah, we'll can discuss some more female issues.
More female stuff. Yeah. And until that time, this is Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla saying, who's not here, and
mahala.
Nicole and Melissa saying, mahalo.
My balls hurt, they'll never heal.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.